Gracias por escuchar los podcasts de Radio Exterior. Acceda a todos los programas en rtv.es/a la carta. Radio Exterior de España.
English Language Service. My guest today, Leonardo Martins Díaz, has dedicated himself and his business to contribute to a more sustainable future, that is, a better world. When he first came to visit this program over a year ago, he spoke about the projects he was working on in his native Brazil, and specifically in the favelas in Rio de Janeiro. Leo's passion, or one of his passions, because we'll be talking more in this program about his other passions, is building bridges between governments, NGOs, businesses, and communities in order to reduce poverty and create more sustainable communities. In the project in Rio, Leo Martins Díaz brought together leaders with background and experience in sustainability in order to learn how to deliver social projects that generate real and greater impact. Leo brought together these leaders with grassroots leaders in the favelas themselves, who had already been established there, to learn how to implement the projects, how to structure, negotiate, communicate, and work with corporations and multilateral organizations. In the process, Leo and his collaborators discovered real community network is created and strong emotional bonds, I know. Well, Leo, sorry for that long introduction, but thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much, Alison. It's a pleasure to be here.
You know, I didn't mention, of course, you had worked in Spain before, but now you're back here working and bringing the tools that you've been using in Brazil to work in Spain with students, university students, business school students. Looks like a big jump from the impoverished favela to the Spanish university student. Tell me what you're doing in the universities and business schools here.
Well, not only Spanish, but the main objective is to connect these separated worlds in a productive way in order to create and implement powerful solutions. And in this process, is key to work with the academia, the place where the people who will be taking the decisions in the future is studying, is preparing themselves. Many of the leaders who took the decisions that brought us to this crisis, this economical, social, and political crisis, went to the best universities and business schools. So my objective is to contribute to a more sustainable world. So in order to get there, it's key to build these bridges you mentioned before, but it's really key as well to work with the future decision makers.
I have a question, since you mentioned the people who brought us to the economic crisis, the social crisis. Mm-hmm. Do you have an idea of how we were brought to this crisis? What are some of the problems that helped to create this? And do these problems still exist in these organizations, whether they be universities or corporations?
Well, I believe it's a problem in the base. I mean, in the base of all these institutions, government, companies, universities. We, each of us, in our daily life, our habits, the way we are interacting with one each other. So it's a question of the system, the model we are immersed on. And that's, I feel happy to work with the young people because as they know, they will not get a job. You know, they know that. A few of them will get a job. They are believing in another model. They are believing something different. They want something different. They don't want this system. So I am with them. I don't believe in this system as well. I think we have to change. We have to adapt. We have to go to a more human system. When I say human system and human model or human business model, I mean a model more centered in people, putting people first, and also thinking about the economic benefits you will have, but thinking more about people, no? The environment and people. I'm talking about considering not, in a very popular way of speaking, not just considering numbers, but considering impacts that and social impacts that is hard to measure. There are lots of people, professionals in sustainability, trying to measure social impacts now, and it's very hard. But we have to accept that some impacts are not measurable in numbers, you know, but they are very important and we need these impacts to a more healthy society.
What kind of impacts do they measure? What kind of impacts are they talking about?
Well, many times a social impact could be, I don't agree it's a social impact, but some organizations say that they say their social impact is that they are putting 1,000 kids in the school. It's okay. It's a good job, but this is not the impact. You know, the impact is to change the objective of life of the people. You know, many times they don't even know the name of one of these 1,000 kids. You know, each year they put 1,000 more and 1,000 more. So this is numeric. We need to put people first. You know,
and that means bringing them into relationship with each other.
Yeah, I really believe that we have to be more in contact with each other. For example, in the same university, the different colleges, you know, they have sustainability is cross-functional, so they have to be in touch and they have to work together. The same with the government and the companies, the different departments in a company. The people from the favela or people who are living in poor areas, people who have to reinvent themselves each day in order to survive. And they have a knowledge that the people who went to school, university, we don't have, we don't, didn't develop it. So if we bring all this knowledge and experience together, is when we find the strongest, the power, more powerful solutions, and the solutions I believe can begin to change the system we are living.
Well, can you tell me a little bit about what you were doing with the Spanish students?
Well, I create inside the universities what I call impact center. An impact center is a place where students can go and they go through an experiential learning program.
And what is that?
It's learning by doing. They have a lot of theoretical class and knowledge, but they don't know very much how to apply it. So give you a very simple example, how to do a meeting. When you bring together different people inside the room to do a meeting, it's very common that people don't think before. For example, a question I do to them when I bring external stakeholders to work with them, how would you like to leave this meeting? And how would you like the other person to leave this meeting? You know, think about it. So which questions do you should do in order to get to your objective and also to help your collaborator or your supporter to get to his objective as well, because we have to add value collectively, you know, to all of us. For example, we do meetings, yeah. I bring people from professional for companies, and the projects we co-create, we implement. So it's true, it's not just, you know, an evaluation, an exam.
And what kinds of projects do you co-create?
Projects with social impact. For example, the number of people living in the streets in Madrid is increasing a lot with the crisis. So what nowadays called social entrepreneurship, it's a kind of incubator.
Uh-huh.
So in this impact center, the students learn about sustainability. Sustainability consider system thinking, leadership, communication, project management, stakeholder engagement, connect with their essence. That's key to something that we were not prepared in the educational system, you know, to connect with our essence and understand what we would like to do and then think in a structured way how to construct a project with this feeling in order to have a more powerful project, to communicate it and engage stakeholders and people, organizations who could support the project.
You said one of the projects involved people living in the street. That it's a problem in Madrid.
Yeah.
How did that project work? What did the students, university students, do?
There are lots of projects that you could do with people who are living on the streets. I think that the main point is that if you want to do a project with the people who are living in the streets, you have to sit with them. You have to go there.
Did the students do that?
Yeah, because that's one of the key points of this learning journey. Because it's very common in sustainability field that the solutions are prepared inside the companies, inside the office, you know,
that
in the air conditioning.
That doesn't sound very sustainable.
Yeah, but that's the way it is in the big corporation agencies as well. So you have to leave this space and you have to co-create the project. You have to learn how to listen, to actively listen to the people you want to help. And the concept of helping is something that we work a lot as well. More than help, you have to empower the people so that they can, by themselves, develop their solutions, no, and not depend on someone or organization who comes from another atmosphere, another environment, and bring the solution that will change your life. This is not working.
So I'm fascinated. What did you see in the interaction between the people?
Well, the beginning, I know, it's hard because that's a big barrier. There's a big barrier between people from both sides.
People are frightened, yes, very
both
frightened.
Both sides. But then, first of all, if you listen carefully, if you are true and authentic, in the end, you will somehow admire some aspect of the other people. So doing some dynamics, people become closer and begin to work as a team. But you need some time and you need some dynamics in order to accelerate this process.
Did you know the homeless people that you would be speaking to or approaching? Because that can be very frightening for the homeless person.
No, yes. Yeah, sure.
How did you...
No, before you have to get in touch with an organization who know this topic specifically. First of all, you have to engage with them. You have to listen to them. You have to consider what they would like to do with a project like that. And you have to consider these things in the project we will co-create. But the most important thing is that the people who are living in the streets, they are the ones who really should or must have more voice in when we are talking about solutions.
And did you find that your university students having worked in the project, left with the same sense?
The guys who decide to participate in a program like that, commonly they want to go through this experience, so they are more open. This is not, these programs are not to all the students. They decide. I don't know how to explain it.
Is not a required course. It's not necessarily part of the curriculum. They come with interest.
Yeah, definitely. They come because they want, and we do some activities to engage the students little by little, for sure, but it's not obligatory.
I saw in the video there was one exercise that was fascinating that involved bamboo. Could you describe that?
Yeah, in a group of people, you have to just with your finger, everybody is putting the finger in the bamboo, one finger, and you have the group have to put the bamboo on the floor. It seems very easy, but it's very hard. The bamboo begin going up and not down. So it's a way of, through experience, it's a dynamic to understand the importance of leadership, organization in a team, listen to the other, because in the beginning, everybody's saying, okay, go down, but nobody's listening. So this kind of dynamics we use a lot in order to make people assimilate the theory they already have.
What about the notion of creating their own jobs? How, because this is, you know, it's funny, there are times when I hear the government today speaking about entrepreneurship. And of course, I think about Latin America or about Africa, where people are required to be entrepreneurs because the jobs don't exist or they don't exist for them.
Yeah.
What do Europeans who are used to having employment?
Yes, because Europeans are used to have a more structured system, developed system, the welfare state, and it's a pity that it's going down. I could answer you that through the experience, we learn more. There's Edgar Dale, an American, got to the conclusion that 90% of what we experience, we retain, we learn. And for example, less than 10% of what you read in your life, you retain, you learn. That's one of the reasons why. But I can give you an example as well. My first job was in KPMG, and I had to buy the suit. That's expensive for a young guy. I had to buy two of them, a black and a blue one, I select. And the ties and the T-shirts. And I didn't want to ask money from my parents. I want to have my independence. I always was looking for my independence. And I bought it, paying in many times, but I didn't get to the end of the month, you know, with my salary. So talking with Rogério, a friend from the favelas, who didn't go to the university as I did, didn't complete the school education as I did, I was talking with him about it, and he asked me, the people you are working with, they have money. And I say, yes, they have money, definitely. And they don't have time. They work a lot and very hard until very late in the night. And I, yes, that's true. And so he told me, I'm sure they don't have time to buy their clothes. And I thought, probably. So why don't you sell them T-shirts, for example? T-shirts for working. They need T-shirts. And I answer like, oh, how would I do that? Okay, I will introduce you to a person who can sell you the T-shirts. Well, I began to sell T-shirts, and in the end of the month, I had more money selling T-shirts than my salary in the multinational.
Your friend in the favela is a great businessman.
Yeah. In this moment, I realized clearly that the knowledge and experience are complementary and you have to bring this together. So it began like this. And during all my career, I just understood that this is right and true. That, and that's part of the methodology of this program, or the beginning of the methodology of this program.
Now, when you say empowerment, what do you mean? And how much relation does that have to responsibility?
Being empowered is, in my opinion, is being able to connect with your essence and create a project with this essence, and then structure and communicate it and find support. So you are empowered.
Experiential learning.
Yeah.
You still need it. There's still a teacher involved. And in this case, he was your teacher.
Yeah. And besides of being a teacher, he was coming from a very different background. So the importance of the experience of the different backgrounds, you know.
So you find it also then empowerment can come from a meeting of different backgrounds, mutually empowering.
Yeah, I think it's more powerful if it comes from different backgrounds. That's why sustainability, that it's a cross-functional topic subject. So in order to create a more sustainable world, we have to engage different sectors. We have to influence in different sectors. We have to bring different sectors together.
This is not a word that you have used or that I've seen in your material. What about inequality? Does that figure in at all?
Yeah. Because I think one of the key points for a more sustainable world is a more equal world. The level of inequality is raising. Thomas Piketty published an amazing book about it. He brought the inequality to inside the economical debate. And I think that if really one of the key points of sustainability is inequality, if we don't have a more equal world, the businessman can earn lots of money, but there is no bulletproof car against inequality. Tomorrow, someone can try to steal him or his family or his friend and maybe kill him, like it's happening in Rio, for example. No, people are being killed with knives, you know, because of a bike. So I don't think it's very clever to concentrate so much and have so much. You know, you can have a very luxury life, but be careful, because maybe tomorrow on the streets something can happen. So we need a minimal level of equality, a minimum. For sure, a total equality is impossible, yeah, but a minimal level. This is key in sustainability. Without that, there is no environment, no animals, no, you know, we will destroy each other and the whole world.
That, again, is another reason why it does seem so appropriate, having worked in Brazil's favelas, to be working now with Spanish university students, and especially students in business school, who one would imagine are aspiring to earning a lot of money.
Yeah, usually people in the business schools are thinking about that, earning lots of money, power, and okay, that's human, and I'm not criticizing them, but I think it have to be less radical, a bit more collaborative, the model. So you can, if you want to earn lots of money, okay, but if you're earning lots of money and other people cannot eat, cannot live, cannot have access to education, to the health system, something's wrong.
And as you said, your program, the Impact
Center
is voluntary. So the students who are interested, perhaps, in changing circumstances, their own and the social circumstances around them, come to the Impact.
They come, and the university has the interest that they come as well, because the university can use, and I advise the university in this topic, is a service that I do for them in creating the narrative, tell that to the society. So it's the CSR, the corporate social responsibility story of this university. So we are helping, we are worried about a better system, a new model. We are identifying that we have to change, we have to adapt. And I think that this is what we need. Not to say, you know, we are doing everything perfectly, but to understand where the weak points are and how to work with them. All of us are living in a way that is not sustainable to the planet.
When you're developing these narratives, you're quite confident that these narratives are authentic and true?
If they are not authentic, I cannot develop this narrative. But if the institution, the university, the academia, put resource to create an impact center and is supporting this project, I think they are trying to do something. Then organizations are a group of people. So many times we take one organization and say, oh, this organization is sustainable, or this organization is not sustainable. You have groups of people, departments inside. Some departments are trying to be more sustainable. Others don't, are just looking for the money. So it's more complex. Sustainability is a very complex topic. So if I can be involved in the part of people, in the group of people who are trying to make it more sustainable, I'm okay with this narrative. But if I see that it's just marketing, for example, I will not work on that because I will lose my differential, my credibility, and my motivation.
As I mentioned at the beginning, you are passionate about your work, about your methodology, about reaching people, long-distance swimming, the blues, live performance music. Yeah. But I hadn't known about free-flying. Leo, yeah. Could you tell us what it is and how it is that you were able to do this in Madrid, in Spain, and how it relates to your work?
I use the paraglider to free-fly. You can free-fly with a hand glider, for example, and other equipment. I use the paraglider. So my main passion is to travel, flying.
You're just in a little body brace, is that right? And you have a kind of, not a parachute, because yeah,
it begins with a parachute. Uh-huh. It's very similar, but you can climb in the thermals and become higher. And that's the way you travel. You take off and you look for the thermals. You become more, higher and then you go to the other thermal and you are looking for thermals.
So before you get to the finding the thermal currents and rising with them, you said you take off.
Yeah.
How do you take off on paraglide?
To take off, you need a mountain. Different levels. And the wind coming from your face, no, from the front.
Uh-huh.
Not very strong wind.
You run into the wind.
Yeah, you run into the wind. And when you have these conditions, you take off. And if the takeoff is higher, better, because you have more time to look for a thermal. And then when you find a thermal, you do like the birds.
Uh-huh.
You know, you
circle
in the thermal and in order to go high. And you go high and do another transition to other thermal. So you are also always doing transitions. Sometimes you are very high and everything is very easy because the floor is, you know, we always say that what hurts is the floor, is the landscape.
Yeah.
So you are very calm and then you do the transition and you can be very low. The mountains that you were seeing from the top, like, you know, flat land began to grow and you have to keep the perspective, you have to keep the calm, you have to know or to try to know where to go. So we are always managing risks. You cannot lose the perspective.
Apart from having prepared, right? You prepare beforehand to know the weather conditions, the meteorological winds. But you're also actually intuitive, sensitive to changes and adapt to changes as you're flying.
With the practice, you develop this part as well. The thermals come from the landscape where the sun is more perpendicular, where you have contrast of colors. So there are some characteristics where the thermals should be. The clouds, the birds circling. But many times you don't have none of these indicators and you can find them. And many times, as you are saying, hours and hours flying and you say, oh, I think there's something there over there, and you find it. And many times you don't.
Is this a solitary activity or a group activity?
I leave it in a solitary way. You can go in groups, but I don't have the feeling of being flying groups. I did some flights in tandem, bringing people with me, friends, and that's amazing to share this experience. So this time you are sharing and you are with someone, but you are the one who take the decision.
I was going to say, when you say in tandem, it just means that you have another person attached to you,
yeah,
in the same paragliding. Usually you're just alone with your equipment,
yes,
and in the air. There may be other people in the air as well, but you are alone.
Yes, yes. If something happens to you, it happens to you. The other people can keep flying, you know. So
you were recently out. You left from the Sierra de Madrid?
Gredos, la meseta central, Gredos.
Oh, the Gredos mountain range.
Yeah, we had 2 weeks ago, we were looking for a specific condition, meteorologic condition. It's a convergence between the mass of air that becomes hot in the Guadalquivir in the south of Spain and the north wind. So both of them reach each other right in this point of the Meseta Central and creates a convergence. And we were flying 5,000 meters high. And the objective was to do the record of Spain of distance flying. We didn't do. I flew 125 kilometers, 130 kilometers.
How long were you in the air?
6 hours and a half. It was really amazing. Lots of birds and... It was very beautiful, and it's connected with the world I decided to do somehow, because flying, you are always getting out of your comfort zone, you know. When you are in the takeoff, you are in a comfort zone. Your feet are on the ground, and you know what's happening. You can ask for water, something to drink, or you can go to the bathroom. Once you take off, everything changes. You are in a complete different atmosphere, so you are always... And when you take a thermal and you go high, okay, I'm high, you are very happy. Maybe 10 minutes later, you are low again, you know, struggling to find another thermal to go up and keep flying, keep traveling. And the work of sustainability is something new, and it's kind of that. No, I was in my comfort zone working in a big company in a multinational with my salary all the months and very good conditions, but I was not happy with that. I thought I had lots of experience to share, knowledge to share, like all the people I'm working with, and I had to use that. So I got away from this comfort zone and began to do the work we were talking about now.
And of course, the work that you've been talking about, it is your own creation, your own business. This is how you earn a living.
Yeah.
So there's always a possibility that your business may not be contracted to work at a university.
Sure.
Or in the same way, when you're flying, you can always crash. In your experience flying, have you ever been very, very afraid, and have you ever come to the ground before you wanted to or expected to?
This week we were flying a whole week. This week I was afraid every day because the conditions are very strong, you know, and sometimes the turbulence, you can imagine a turbulence in a plane, no? Being inside the plane, you can imagine with a paraglider flying.
So you're shaken around.
You shake a lot. You shake a lot, and the paraglider go up and down and to one side, the other side.
To what extent do you feel out of control or in control?
Well, you can feel out of in control, but you know you're not 100% in control. You are in a transparent atmosphere. It's air. You know, so you don't know if the air is going up very fast in front of you or going down very fast. But I think life is like that. But we, in the last times, we want everything very, we want to know very clearly how it would be in the moment before tomorrow or my plan in 5 years, in 10 years. Maybe I was exaggerating a bit on that. And the free flight, it's a good connection with the moment, you know. You cannot think about anything else just because, you know, you are not totally under control. And I believe we are not totally under control of anything in life.
Leo Martins Diaz, thank you so much. And I think really you have just given us a lesson, both in sustainability and in adaptability to free flight.
No, Alison, thank you very much for the interesting questions you made me. And if anyone wants more information, you can go to my webpage, the three W's, leonardomartinsdiaz.com.
For Pedro Verástegui at the sound controls and myself, Alison Hughes, thanks for tuning in. Hasta pronto.
Well, I started out down a dirty road. started out all alone, and the sun went down as across the hill, and the town lit up, the world got still. I'm learning to fly, but I ain't got wings. Coming down is the hardest thing. Well, the good old days may not return, and the rocks might melt, and the seed may burn. I'm learning to fly, but I ain't got wings. Coming down is the hardest thing. You down and break your heart, steal your crown. So I've started out for God knows where. I guess I'll know when I get there. I'm learning to fly around the clouds, but what goes up must come down. Hardest thing, I'm learning to fly.